Lessons from the late Parshas Kisavo, another honor once again, even though I am behind the, I called it last week plexiglass. It's really not plexiglass, it's really plastic. It's like Israeli plexiglass, they would call it. But it's difficult. I give you a bracha that Amir Tzashem Yerabeim should, Amir Tzashem, very soon be teaching you without this plexiglass. Although I have my mask here, if anybody wants me to wear it, you just raise your hand, I'll put it on. But I'm behind plexiglass, so I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, fine. I want to give you a lesson today that hopefully will stick with you throughout the Rosh Hashanah holiday, throughout this week of Parshas Kisavo. It happens to be my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Thank you. And it is also a lesson, certainly for the time that we're in Rosh Hashanah. So the beginning of the Parsha, we learn about Bikurim. The land that you've decided to pick as your Shana Aleph program, right? Many of you probably, I assume, tried out for other programs in like Hawaii, you know, instead of the year in Israel, the year in Hawaii, the year in Puerto Rico, there. You stuck with the year in Israel, right? And you're in the year in Israel. Now, you all pick the year in Israel because of what Israel has to offer. There's something unique about Israel that is different than any other land, and I give you the bracha that even though we're under very different conditions than we've ever been under, you still will be able to experience why this land is very unique. And as much as we sometimes point out some difficulties, like we just said before we started this year, savlanut, that is not an Israeli trait necessarily, patience, there are amazing things about this land. One of the amazing things about the land is that the land itself is holy. I'm sure you've seen pictures, right, of people who come off the tarmac, right, back, I don't know if it's at least 20-something years ago, more than 20 years ago, there was only Terminal 1 in Ben-Gurion Airport. And Terminal 1, you always would have to get off the plane and get on buses. It was very, now it's a very sophisticated, beautiful place. That caused a problem for people who came and made Aliyah, because how are they going to kiss the ground? So what they did was that all flights that make Aliyah now go through Terminal 1. Why? So that they can kiss the ground, because people like to do that. Why? What are you kissing the ground for? It's disgusting. What are you doing? So the land is holy. The land is holy. We learned about, of course, the Shemitah year. Holy land. We don't have the Shemitah year in America. We don't have it in Canada. We don't have it even in England, right? It's not, the fruits, the vegetables are not considered to be something miyuchad, something special. What is this whole idea? What is the concept here that we have these laws? Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a son of a farmer. But even in the small level, even on the smallest level, I can tell you that I have only a few fruit trees in my house, and it's pretty cool that I have to follow separate laws of Shemitah when it comes up. I believe it's in about a year from now, if I'm not mistaken. The laws of Trumas and Maestros I have to follow. I have to follow the laws when we first got it, of Orla, the first 3 years. You can't touch the fruit even though they're so beautiful. The fourth year, that's a Revai. Why? What's so special? And the answer is a really high level of one big word called emunah. The realization that in life, everything comes from Hashem. And if we don't stop and believe that, then we really are doing a disservice to ourselves. Part of your experience in your year in Israel is that. Is that you actually come out of your year in Israel believing that God is part of your life. Now, you happen to be, according to what I see, even through the plexiglass, you're all wearing yarmulkes, which defines you as religious Jews. But what exactly does that mean? Do not raise your hand. How many of you are wearing tzitzis right now? How many of you are wearing tzitzis? How many are wearing tzitzis and even know why they're doing it? Or even know if their tzitzis are kosher? How many people have checked their tefillin since their bar mitzvah? How many people care when they daven? All these different things say, wait, I have a relationship with you, Hashem. This relationship is really important to me. Because I know that ain old milvado, there's nobody but you. I can only rely on you, God. We talk the talk sometimes. We might, you know, how do you know a guy just came home from Israel, right? Certainly a girl. What is a girl? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. How you doing? Baruch Hashem. Right? That's how you know, right? It's Hashem. Bli ayin hara. Kenayin hara. Right? If they're really from, you know, if they went to Mechala. Kenayin hara. Right? But we say Baruch Hashem, right? The joke is, you know, don't do this, please. Right? You go to lunch one day, and you go up to your friend, and you say, hey, what's going on? Right? And what does your friend say? Baruch Hashem. So Shana, right? We talk about, not talking about Shana, Shana bad guy, right? He's like, hey, what's going on? Baruch Hashem. And then you look at him, Weisenheimer, and he's like, Baruch Hashem what? Good or bad? Right? When I say Baruch Hashem, do I even really mean what I'm saying? Probably not. And it's not funny, but there's an isser when a person is an ovel. They're not supposed to greet on Tisha B'Av. We're not supposed to greet people. We're not supposed to say hello. Rav Moshe Feinstein wondered whether or not that's true today. Right? What happens when you pick up the phone? So it's funny on Tisha B'Av. I follow this minhag. If I have to, somebody calls me on Tisha B'Av, how do you answer the phone? If you can't say hello, what do you say? What? What do you say? Huh? Yeah? Right? So an ovel really is not supposed to say. So Rav Moshe says, you know what? Maybe you could say hello. You know why? Hello doesn't mean anything anymore. It's a figure in the, I don't know. When I say to you, hey, how you doing? Do I really mean, do I really care how you do? Oh no, please don't tell me how you, like, just say, hey, I'm good, right? Don't say, you know how I'm doing? I've been crying every day, my bad, I miss my mommy and daddy. Like, dude, okay, sorry, speak to Rav Asher. Like, not for me, okay? Get out of here. We don't care. Do I want Hashem in my life? These psukim are awesome. Vayaki Sovelarts, when you come to the Aretz, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Daf Lamed, I think Zion, Amud Beis, that it is because of the mitzvah of Bikurim Hashem brought us Eretz. So what's Bikurim? I have a beautiful orchard. I got apples, I got oranges, I got whatever I got. And now I take the first fruits and I put them in a gorgeous basket and I go up to Yushalayim. And I bring it up to the Kohen. And I say, hey, God, the only reason why I got a lot is because of you. I'm giving you a present. I know you don't need my present, but I recognize it's what we call the attitude of gratitude. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, that's the greatest mitzvah, because of the greatest mitzvah is the mitzvah of gratitude. He says that many people on Rosh Hashanah, you know what they do? On Rosh Hashanah, we generally spend our time thinking about the future. Oh, I'm going to be better. Things are going to get better. I'm going to be a better person. He says, wait, let's think about the past for a moment. We think about all the bad things we had happen in our life, especially this year, right? Right? You got 7 months stolen from you, right? You probably got to know your parents in a way you never wanted to know them, right? You're stuck in your home. You're stuck in... Right? Many of us had plans for the summer that didn't happen. Maybe us had plans for... And it continues. It's not just 7 months. It would be wrong for me to say that. I'm behind this, the jail cell over here. So, but I look... Do I at least say, do I have any gratitude to Hashem that I'm alive? Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know somebody that had corona? It's not part of the what is it, 25 million, I think, people that got corona? Millions that died? People that died? People that we don't even know about that probably died of it? They don't even know? The millions of people that are on unemployment because of it? People that don't have jobs? Do I give hodah to Hashem and say, wow, I have an attitude of gratitude? One of the poignant psukim, I think, is that when he brings the Bikurim, he has to say something called Vidui Maisa. Now, this is a very interesting psukim, because these are the same psukim we actually say on Pesach night. We actually talk about the Bikurim. We talk about gratitude to Hashem. Because we shouldn't think for a moment that God took us out of Egypt, and then he said, okay, hello, just do whatever you want. Go play. Have a good time. That's not true, right? You know, if Rav Mo came up to you and said, hey guys, it's Corona time. You guys are the chalutzim. You're the greatest guys in the world. Tuesday, everybody's getting out of their biduda. You guys, that's it. Just get out of here. Like, what? I'm like, yeah. I mean, you came a week early. Like, have a great year. So I know you might be happy about it for the first week or two. But then you might actually call Rav Mo and be like, so, like, are we going to have any Shalom Aleph? Like, I don't just want to party the whole year. I know that sounds good to party the whole year. But that's not what you're here for. And one of the most poignant psukim is, he has to say all these things. Arami oved aviv, ayeir mitzrayimah. But one of the things that he says is, hashkifa mimon kochecha. Look up to God. I'm sorry, God is going to look down on you. Uvarech esamcha. I brought the Bikurim. I did what I was supposed to do. I realized that whatever I have in life is from you. Not from anybody else. And the only reason why I'm here today is because of you. And the only reason why I have a parnassus is because of you. And the reason why I have apples and oranges and grapes is all because of you. That is an amazing level that we cannot say anything other than thank you to God. And so many of us, and I'm including myself in this, lack that basic gratitude level. We don't say thank you. We don't think we have it so good. I know you don't think about this, but I really think it's a miracle. The miracle that you all got here is makes absolutely no sense to anybody. For if you knew that a week before you all came, the new czar of Corona went to the Supreme Court and said, I want to cancel for flights of American students. I don't want anybody foreign nationals coming into the country for this little scam that we pulled called the Shana Aleph, a temporary whatever you got, permits or whatever you got. He went to the Supreme Court of Israel. And shockingly, it was voted down. And you were able to come. Do you thank? You say no. What do you mean? It's not fair that I can't go out. Last week we quoted Rav Aaron Levy, so I had to listen to him again. And he told the greatest story. I think you're, in Mirtz Hashem, you should be Zeuche. In previous years, the yeshiva went to a place called Shiloh. Those of you who don't know, the community that we're living in now, Ramat Beit Shemesh, this community is called Ramat Shiloh. It has nothing to do with the ancient town of Shiloh. Shiloh stands for Shchunat Yeshivat Lev HaTorah. Isn't that cute? Okay. That's what it's called. But the real Shiloh was actually the first place the Mikdash was. The first place when they went into Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan, was there. That's where it stood. That's where they died before we had a base of Mikdash. Shiloh, ancient Shiloh, I'm sure many of you have been there, has an awesome winery. The Shiloh Winery has many, many different. I am not a wine connoisseur, so I'm not going to pretend to tell you, oh, it's amongst the greatest wines. The Cabernets, oh, they're wonderful. They're naughty Cabernets. And the Merlots, oh, I don't know. They're robust. I don't know anything about wine. But there's a gentleman that runs it. He is definitely, I don't know if he's English, or I don't remember from his accent, or American. His name is Amichai Luria. Amichai has an amazing story. Amichai has, I know I'm not judging people by, he has a yarmulke that's even smaller than yours. Small little yarmulke. But his story is remarkable. Listen to the story, guys. It's kedai to listen to the story rather than being on your phones if for some reason you're on your phone. Amichai is the one who started in 2005 Shiloh Winery in Shiloh. And he befriended, obviously, many people to try, and it happens to be one of the most popular wines, not only in Israel, it's won various international awards. It happens to be a very good, again, I don't know if this to be true, I don't know anything about wine, but they've won international awards. They're one of the greatest wineries here in Israel. So one of Rav Aaron Levy's, this guy I quoted last week, Hitabrut Rabbi, one of his friends sends him for Shabbos a fancy wine from Shiloh, right? I don't know which one. And he gets the wine, and he calls him after Shabbos. He says, "Nu, how is the wine?" And he said, "I knew it was one of those friends who's going to ask you." So you're like, I don't know if you have, like I have in my house, I have 50 bottles of wine from all the yeshiva guys who come over and be like, "Hey, Rabbi, I brought you wine. You want to open it?" You know, like, obviously you have to open it at the table so we can get a little, you know, fine. And I never open it. And so I have 50 bottles of wine. I actually have a friend who started a new minhag. Every year for Shalach Manos, he gives out the wines of all the guys from Leva Torah who came and gave a bottle of wine. He gives it out. I know this year he probably he gives it out to everyone, right? So it's cool, by the way. If you want, write your name on it. Like on the back somewhere, write your name on it. I'll see if I got your wine. Okay. So he tried it. He tried it. He says, actually, the wine was really good. He goes, you know the wine, why it's really good? So now he's got to be one of those fakers. He's like, I know why it's really good. Because it was very fruity. I tasted, am I right? Does he put a little bit in the Cabernet Sauvignon? Does he put a little, there was a little bit, I tasted a little mango. Is it a mango? I don't know. So he's like, I don't know. He goes, I'll tell you why. And he puts on the phone Amichai. And Amichai says, well, Rabbi, I want to tell you my story. When I started the Shiloh Winery, I wanted to be machmir sheba machmir, strict of strict when it comes to the laws of Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Kisavo, as we said, is a parsha that reminds us of the Kedusha of the land of Eretz Yisrael, unlike any other land. But there are rules and regulations you have to follow here that you don't have to follow anywhere else. Right? You can't just simply pick fruit and bring it into your... You got to take Trumas, Maisras, in the days of yore, you would collect those fruits and give them to your local Kohen. And he says, I said there's one law that we follow today called Shemitah. It's a really hard law if you're a farmer. Every 7 years, you let your whole land fallow. Imagine if Shemitah applied to real business. You're a lawyer, you're a doctor, 7th year, Shemitah year, go learn Torah. Go to Leva Torah. Right? Go to the Mir Yeshiva. Go somewhere. There's no, you're not allowed to work. I can't imagine what would happen in the business world if this happened. So he said, I made a pact with myself. Not only am I going to be machmir, I'm not going to allow any of the kulas. There are different kulas in the Shemitah year. Some people allow something called heta mechir, where you sell the land to an Arab. Some people allow, which is a codified halacha called otzer basin, where the basin takes it over and they sell the wine that year and they give you some of the money. Nothing, he said. Not only that, ready for the super chumrah? Anybody I do business with, I said that the only way I'll do business with you, right? He gets other produce, he gets other things to make the wine. He says, you also have to follow Shemitah. And they're like, "What should we? Who are you? Tell us how to follow Shemitah." He says, I'm going to pay you 6 years more money so that on the seventh year you have enough money. So for example, I'm just making this up. If he gets it from the grape guy and the grape guy charges 12 shekel a kilo, he will always pay him 14 shekel a kilo. So that extra 2 shekel that he's getting, he'll have money for Shemitah year. This is unbelievable. So he says to him, how do you have such a moon in Hashem? Right? Imagine, listen to this. Again, let's review. Right? You do a business deal with someone. It's business. You do a business deal with another guy. And you say to him, listen, I know you're going to owe my company, so on and so forth. I actually know a story like this. I'm selling my company here in Eretz Yisrael. I know someone who sold their company, and they said, I'll sell my company on one condition. I want you to keep all the employees that are here in Israel. They said, nothing doing. He said, I'm not going to sell the company. He says, the guy says, okay, fine. I'll sell the company, $5 million less. He says, I'll take it. You guys are nut job. Oh, they write about him in the paper that he's a cool guy, but Amichai says no. He says, I have a pact with the Rabbanu Shalom. It's a pact. It's a contract. It's the greatest contract ever. God says to me, if you believe in me, if you have a moon in me, I promise you, sit back and relax, my friend. I'm going to take care of you. But don't question me. Don't question me. Don't start pulling shtick. Last week's parsha, not mamash, last week's parsha, the last three psukim is a famous Sechiras HaMolech. Right? We all, oh my God, we have to go to that. You know, it's one day you really got to go to, got to make it on time. Got to hear, Tim Ches, Sechir HaMolech. And you know, even on a few psukim, you have to hear, say it again. We say it twice. What's the psukim before that? Honesty in weights and measures. What does that have to do with the prices in China? What is one, what is HaMolech? HaMolech was Suffolk. It was a lack of amunah. All of a sudden, you believe in God, and one bad thing happens to you, comes a Amalek. Again, who was a Amalek? Everybody was scared of the Jewish people. We crossed the Yamsa, everybody heard the story, right? They saw the Netflix movie, and they were like, holy cow, these Jews do not mess with them. They got God. Amalek said, we don't care. And that started a rampage. You're saying, well, if Amalek didn't care, our nation doesn't. We don't. But the people had to have Emun and Hashem. Somebody who's not honest with weights and measures, says in the Tziv, lacks Emunah on the highest level. Why? Because what's somebody that's not honest with weights and measures? Who is that guy? That guy says, I need to get farther in business. God doesn't know what I really need. I know what I need. Here's a scale. The scale says 1 pound, 1 kilo. It's not really true. I rigged it. Every time I'm making 10% more. Nobody knows about it except me. Ha ha. God's like, you don't know what's going to... I mean, you live in a home. A home is a cash pit, right? Anything could go wrong in your house. All of a sudden, you have an entire year where basically nothing went wrong. You know why? Maybe? Maybe? You had a moon and Hashem in your business. The guy's not honest with your measures, and he says, oh, wow, I got 10% more, and I made so much more money. And he says, oh, yeah, but you have that fire in the house. I know, but that had nothing to do with anything, the fire in the house, but just because, you know, there's a fire. Honesty is the policy with Hashem. That's what Emunah is. Says Amichai, it's a pact with Hashem. Hashem says, Hashkifa, Mimon, Kochachai, look down on you. Uvarechoschai, all you have to do is follow my things. It's not so hard. I'm not, God doesn't say you have to give me 50%. Right? 10% is stuck, and that's not such a big deal. It's a pact that we have. That's what real Emunah is. But you know what the thing is? When it comes to where we are right now, Elul, we're in a time where we might not even realize that it's a scary time. The reason why we build the shofar during this time is to wake you up, especially in Shana Aleph, and to say, okay, Nu, stop your excuses. You all got your little excuses of, I'm jet lag, it's really bad, it's corona jet lag, it's worse, for heart. You don't understand what corona, it's terrible. Wake up, 2 weeks are left, that's it. 2 more parshios, and then we're done. This is the parsha. We have to read about the brachas and the klalos because 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we say, I want you to be a bracha boy, not a klala boy. But you know the ultimate level when we tell over the story? Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. When I got this week's parsha says, I screamed out to Hashem. They didn't scream out in tefillah. Says some of the Meforshim that the tefillah they gave was not a Vanitzak. When they were Avadim, you know when God decided to take them out? When they went like this. Oh, God. You ever do that? We do the opposite a lot of times. God damn it! You know, that we do. We love to curse God. That's great. Sometimes we look and go, oh God. That was the moment that Hashem said, Vanitzak. It doesn't say Vayitpalel el Hashem Elokeinu. Vayishma Hashem et Koleinu. You know the moment Hashem heard us? When we said, oh my God, there's no way we're getting out of the situation if not for you, God. When I'm at the depths, when I'm in the garbage, that's when Hashem says, okay, now you get it? I'm going to save you. Dirshu Hashem behimotza. This is the time where we have to go and seek God because He's so close. I'm sure somebody must have said to you, Hamelech basada. The king is here, he's greeting you. Nu, pick him up. He's in black. Of course he said that. Hamelech basada, man, come on. Hamelech basada. The king is in your town. When does he ever come here? Happens to be Lahabdil Abdi Abdullah. But Benny Gantz is the deputy prime minister of Israel. So one of the ministers lives on my block. So this week, after Meyer, all of a sudden I start to look around and I see all these guys with guns and I'm like, what the heck is going on my block? And I say to my son, I have an idea. I think Benny Gantz has come. What are you talking about? We're sitting and learning and all of a sudden you can see from the window little sirens and a woo-woo. You know, you have to look outside because the Eight Sahara, yeah. And I see, oh my God, four big Audis, bulletproof Audis with a Range Rover. Oh, there's all my tax money, by the way, going, and he's coming out. Ooh, there he is. Right? For a moment, you get that, and you go, ooh. Hamelech Basada, he's here. And he says, just call out to me. But if you don't call out to me, what am I going to do? I can't just come to you. Says the Chassam Sofer. You know what the key line is? It's a line that we say in Hallel. Mikimi mi afal dal mi ashpot yarim evyon. The ashpot is the garbage. You know where I call out to you, Hashem? Mi ashpot yarim evyon. I believe I'm poor without you. When does God pick you up? When you finally realize there's nobody else, no little thing. It's not your great mind. It's not what college you're going to. It's not how much money you have. And if you learned that any time of the year, it's Corona season. People who had all the money in the world have nothing. People who can come to Israel 4, 5, 6 times a year and go to the Waldorf Astoria once and go to the King David once and Nebuch the third time only go to the Ritz-Carlton in Herzliya can't even get into the country because they're not citizens. They're an Evyoin. They're missing something. Hopefully they recognize it. Nebuch, lo aleinu, all the people that are out of jobs. As I said, millions of people, millions of Jewish people are out of jobs. A million people in Eretz Israel don't have a job now, aren't on unemployment. A million more than was before. Says the Chassam Sofer, and he brings beautiful Yesoidos based on Gematrias. That's what kills the Satan, to believe that I am in a dire strait and it's only you that I rely upon. Great rabbi said, this is the year of Ashpot, right? Ashpot is Aleph, has the letters. Tough, shin, pay, out. Ashpot. This year, tough, shin, pay, the way we're going to get out of Corona, he said, is Ashpot. Get out of the garbage. But I have to believe I'm in a state. Not I'm living through it. It's okay. I'm sorry to say this, right? I'm sorry. I'm going to be your year is not normal right now. It could change. It's not normal that on Rosh Hashanah, I can't come with my family to davening. In your base measures. That I thought was my base measures. It's not normal. It's not normal that you are in little capsules and then it's not normal. Room service to your room. I know it sounds cool, but that's not normal. And many of us are just getting through it and saying, it's okay. I didn't know about Netflix before, but now. I didn't know about this show and that show. It's okay. No, miyashpos yavim evyon. It's the people who wake up and realize that it's only on you, Hashem. Everything I am, I thought I had everything and now I have the... That's what this is about. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Dodi is an uncle. Isn't that cool? Ani l'dodi. I am for my beloved, but I also mean an uncle. Who's the uncle? The uncle's always that cool guy. Your uncle's, hey, here you go. Here's the money. Here, Uncle So-and-so's here. Uncle Saul's here. He might be a little weird, Uncle, I know. But he gives you the money. It might smell a little bit from, I don't know what in his house. But his uncle, the uncle's here. He's going to give us all the presents. Hashem's here. Uncle's here. Greet him. As we spoke about last week, he is Anila Dodi. Vidodi Li is also that he's Avinu Malkeinu. He's my dad. My dad wants to help me. But we have to want that help. And I think that's the ultimate lesson in Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah, the lesson for our parsha, and also a lesson in business as well. Amunah is what gets us to kind of where we are. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, but I think, again, it's an important lesson for us to take with us on this Rosh Hashanah, that I have to believe that I'm in a state of ashpot, and Hashem can only lift me out of that state of ashpot.